Welcome to Right Spokane Perspective with your host, Tim.
And Shannon.
It's opinion, fact, information, and your alert system. Stay tuned and enjoy the show. And welcome to Right Spokane Perspective on this Cracking the Egg of Education Thursday episode. We are going to be speaking to Brad Klippert. He is running for OSPI, that's Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction here in Washington State, that oversees our schools statewide and allocates monies to school districts through the legislature. So we're going to talk to Brad Klippert about education, cracking that egg, because, you know, it is that season where there's going to be lots of eggs for the children to find. And what they should be finding in our schools is an education. We'll jump into that after inspiration.
Our inspiration today is Jesus, our substitute. A wealthy 24-year-old was drag racing with his friends when he struck and killed a pedestrian. Although the young man received a 3-year prison sentence, some believe that the man who appeared in court, who subsequently served a prison sentence, was a hired surrogate for the driver who committed the crime. This type of thing has been known to occur in some counties where people hire body doubles to avoid paying for their crimes. This may sound scandalous and outrageous, but more than 2,000 years ago, Jesus became our substitute and suffered once for our sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. As God's sinless sacrifice, Christ suffered and died once and for all who believe in him. He took the penalty for all our sins in his own body on the cross. Unlike a person today who chooses to be a substitute for a criminal to get some cash, Christ's substitutionary death on the cross provided hope for us as he freely, willingly gave his life for us. He did so to bridge the chasm between us and God. May we rejoice and find comfort and confidence in this profound truth. Only by the substitutionary death of Jesus can we, sinners in need, have a relationship with the complete spiritual access to our loving God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for dying in our place so that we might have access to God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, substitutionary, we're going to be talking a little bit along those lines today. It's not going to be the substitute for salvation, but the substitute for education, because I think that's what we have right now is a substitute for education. And it's not like a substitute teacher, but it's like substitutes, like who's going to school? Is it actually the kids, or are they finding like a body double to substitute in the classroom? Because it's my understanding our education system isn't attracting the students because only 67% of them are regularly attending class. So that's going to be a job for the next person in the position of OSPI. I believe that's going to be an open seat coming up, and there's a number of candidates running. One of them is Brad Klippert. We have him on the line with us today. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, sir.
All right, Brad Klippert, let's tell the listeners, who is Brad Klippert? First off, before we jump off into education, let's find out who Brad Klippert, running for Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction, is.
Well, just very quickly, 34 years of military leadership experience, 20 of those years as a helicopter pilot for the Army, 30 years of law enforcement experience. I retired from the military as a 06 Fulbright Colonel, Commander of the Washington State Guard, served 14 years in the state legislature. And to be able to, this is a nonpartisan position that I'm running for, the Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction. So people keep asking, Brad, you're running for a nonpartisan position. You're a conservative person. You got to win 42% of the I-5 corridor. Can you work with the people on the other side of the aisle? Well, I did that for 14 years in the state legislature, so much so that I prime sponsored 29 bills that passed both the House and the Senate, were signed into law by the governor. And I certified as a teacher in 1997. I graduated with honors in my master's degree in teaching. I've served in private school and public school, teaching at every grade level from first grade to college, and I've taught nationally and internationally. So that's just a little bit about Brad Klippert.
Well, that's quite the laundry list there of items where you've served the public in capacity in the military and the guard, and then also, you know, as a teacher. Now, I know, you know, some teachers are afraid of those kindergarten students. Teachers are afraid of those high school students, and they all feel like they probably need some military experience just to do that. So you've got that. You've prepared yourself for those students prior to being in the classroom, it sounds like.
Yes, sir. And those teachers who are afraid to be in a kindergarten classroom, that's not so much a strange thing. The other day I was in a kindergarten classroom, and at the end of my instruction to them, I said, hey, to show my love for you, I'm going to get down on one knee, and why don't you all run up at once and give me a big hug? And I said, but don't knock me over. Well, they ran up, and it was a blast. We had fun. But yeah, they knocked me over, and all the way to that kindergarten class, and my weight came down on my right ankle and or left ankle. And so I learned next time, don't go on one knee, sit in a chair or something so you don't get your ankle caught underneath of you. But it's just wonderful. I love kids, love working with them, and they are a joy to work with every day.
And so the next few events that you go to, you're going to be limping in and out of the classrooms or the campaign events, it sounds like, huh?
Well, it was a wonderful, inspirational story we heard at the beginning of the show, and a great prayer. And, you know, I prayed, and 10 minutes later, I was able to walk on it. My supervisor said, go see a doctor. I said, no, not going to do that. I am going to work through this, and I have, and we're doing just fine. So being with those kids can be fun and dangerous all at the same time, but it's a fun danger.
It can be.
It's a fun danger.
And the interesting thing about children, my wife and I, we worked with children in a child care that we ran for about 2 decades. And first time I met you, I was in the legislature because of government regulation that was affecting child care businesses. And we cared for children from a very young age, you know, in diapers, all the way up to, you know, sixth graders, children that needed child care before and after school. So our experience with children, it was interesting whether it was, is the parents thinking there might be an issue because the child had an issue in school, and we didn't have issue with children. It was really simple for us. We set an expectation, the children knew the expectation, and the children wanted to meet those expectations, and most often they did. And it seems like our education system has forgotten that.
Well, it's absolutely incredible. When I did my student teaching, I'll make a very long story short. My last class that I did student teaching in was a fifth grade classroom, and I'm so glad they made me go to this classroom. She was just a master, and she wrote on the board every day the expectations for the students of that class. These are the things we must accomplish today, and her class knew that if you accomplish those expectations, there would be a reward, longer recess, longer lunch recess, whatever. But if we did not, then there would be penalties, you know, shorten the recess or whatever. And the kids loved that. They thrived inside that environment of knowing exactly what was expected of them. And you're exactly correct. Children will rise to the level of our expectations. They love it. They thrive in it. And you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, I know there's a saying about this where that we're suffering from a lack of expectation, or we're reducing life by lowering expectations, something like that. But in the classrooms, we're spending so much money, and I know that that's going to be an issue. Our state government, we had the McCleary decision. Now we're still, you know, looking at local levies and bonds. The cost to taxpayers is higher than ever. I know in the Spokane Public Schools, we're spending $20,000 on average per student, which is absurd. You could send your children to an elite private school for much less. So the money that we have in the education, they always talk about more money for this reason or that reason. And to me, what I see is an increasing in spending like we've never seen over the last decade or so, especially after McCleary, and the outcomes are actually worse. So as director of OSPI, that's looking over, you know, the ESDs, the educational service districts, the state school district, and individual school districts, what's your plan to see better outcomes for the amount of money we're spending?
You talked about some percentages at the beginning of the show about how many students regularly attend school. Let me give you just a couple more. This is from the Superintendent of Public Instruction's April 12, 2023 numbers. 49% of children in Washington State do not test at grade level in English arts standards. 62% do not test at grade level for math standards, and 57% do not test at grade level for science standards. So that's where we are today. How are we going to get to where we want to be? Number one, we're going to return to making academics the priority in our education every day. Reading, writing, arithmetic, science, technology, engineering, civics, truthful, honest history, and career and technical education. We're going to empower parents to parent their children. By and large, the majority of all parents, I don't care if you're liberal, if you're Democrat, Republican, if you're conservative, you want to parent your children. You have no interest whatsoever in co-parenting your children with the state of Washington. Number three, transparency, transparency, transparency. The school must be open and honest with the parents and guardians of the students and with the taxpayers. We have a right to know what's going on in our schools. Number four, safety. The staff and students of our schools have a right to go to school feeling safe in their learning environment, including young ladies have a right to feel safe in their bathrooms and their locker rooms. And number five, we're not only going to speak to the minds of the children in our schools, we're going to speak to their hearts. We have an epidemic in Washington State, in the United States as a whole, is called teenage suicide. Children have lost hope. They've lost a sense of purpose and meaning. We're going to once again tell those children, I do it on a regular basis in our schools, I tell them I love them, I tell them I believe in them, and when they're struggling, I tell them I will walk through this with you. You can do this. You can do this, and you're not going to be alone. I'll be there with you to help you accomplish this. So that's my plan.
Well, that's a great plan.
We're going to do it.
That's a great plan. And going back to what I was saying, my wife and I working with kids, we had those expectations, but we also reminded the children that it wasn't just a penalty or some, you know, loss of some kind of extra that they wouldn't get. It was, hey, we can help you and you can do this. And it seems like right now in education, it's full of can'ts. It's full of, you know, this whole DEI thing. You're an oppressor and you're a victim. And, you know, we've got this cultural problem. And it's like, what? I thought we were friends. I went to middle school with this kid. I thought we were friends. What are you talking about? And we're telling them that they really can't be good friends because they have this victim and victimizer DEI that we're putting in the schools.
And that is a lie. It's an absolute positive lie that your ability to learn would be judged now by the color of your skin. I just can't believe it that we're returning back to racism. There, in our education systems, we're telling kids, if you have a certain skin color, you will not be able to learn. So we have to take extra measures to pass you through your classes and to graduate you, rather than saying, just like you just said, and I tell kids all the time, I take their hand and my hand, I shake their hand, and I say, look me in the eyes. I believe in you. And sometimes they'll look down, they'll look away because they don't have that belief in themselves. I say, no, look me in the eyes. I believe in you. And when you believe in them, they start believing in themselves. You can see there's a sparkle come back in their eyes, a glow in their face. They take a deep breath. They hold their shoulders and their head higher. It's just awesome what we can do in kids' lives. So this DEI thing of saying because of your skin color you have an inability to learn is just an out and out lie.
Well, and the other thing too is that we tell children, okay, here's an expectation. You got 5 pages that you need to read. And that's one of the failures that we have. Like you said, children are not learning how to read. We're graduating students that are reading at less than a third grade level, graduating them from high school. And so I think one of the things too that we always saw worked with kids is you can do this. Don't worry about the 5 pages. Worry about the first paragraph. Start there. And they can succeed. And we just have to have an education system that supports the students and the teachers and not some kind of political agenda or ideology that is damaging our students. And yeah, that suicide rate among children and the drug use and things that are going on, we definitely need leadership in our schools. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back again with Brad Klippert, running for OSPI, Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction. Go to Klippert4OSPI.com. That's Klippert 4 spelled out, Klippert4OSPI.com. We'll be right back. Thank you for listening to Right Spokane Perspective. We are only on the air and podcast because you support this program. You, the listeners, we are listener supported. Keep us on the air to keep all these interviews and shows going. Please go to RightSpokanePerspective.com. There's a donate button there, or you can send your donation to Right Spokane Perspective LLC, P.O. Box 7620-99207. Thanks, and back to the show. And welcome back to Right Spokane Perspective. On this second half, we are visited by Brad Klippert for OSPI. We are cracking the egg of education. And it all starts with the first word, the first paragraph. We need children to learn how to read. And I think right now what we have is an education system that doesn't know how it works. They haven't read the directions on education, but Brad Klippert is going to go ahead and get them started with the first paragraph.
It is so simple, so easy. I had a young lady come to the office one time. She had the requirement of the teacher for the class members, the students in her class, was to memorize this poem and to recite it in front of the class. It was a public speaking exercise. So this girl came down to the office in tears because she just couldn't do it. So I took her aside, and in the office area, with the door wide open, we went into the nurse's office, which was part of the main office, and I said, okay, do you happen to have that piece of literature with you? Yes. Okay, let's sit down together. I'll sit across from you. Now just read it to me. Just read it to me. And she did, and she was able to later on go into the classroom and recite the poem. But you're exactly correct. Start with the first paragraph. Or if it's a memorization and public speaking, just read it to me. And she did. And she ended up coming to Olympia and being a legislative aide. And so, yeah, it's simple.
So she came to Olympia being a legislative aide, all just from starting with the first paragraph of a poem. So I look at this and I think about starting from scratch. And we have an education system now that seems to serve the system more than it serves the children. We start talking to kindergartners about going to college. Hey, how do you scare a child right when they're starting their education, before they get into actual grade school, you know, first grade? We're going to tell them, you've got to do great in your studies because you got to go to college. And they start thinking, well, I have an uncle that's in college. He's old. I'm going to be in school forever, you know, and you just scare the kids right from the beginning. Let them start with the ABCs, the 1, 2, 3s, and get to that first paragraph before you throw the rest of the world in their face and all the problems in the world, like DEI, like we were talking about earlier.
And it doesn't have to be college. That's the mindset that I saw in Olympia. Everybody has to be prepared to go to college. And that's simply not true. I was working with a principal one time. He was frustrated with a student in his office who was in his office for criminal gang activity in the school. He said, Brad, I can't handle anymore. Would you come in and talk to the student? I said, absolutely. So I sat down with that person and we dream built together. I told him, tell me about your life 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now. Tell me about the car you drive, the house you live in. Tell me about your family. Okay, what kind of job do you have? And remember, this is a kid who was involved in criminal gang activity. And I had to show my poker face because he said, I've always thought I would like to go into the culinary arts. And my face just exploded. I go, we could do that. I can help you make that happen. So sometimes it's so simple. Tell me about your dream. It doesn't always have to be college.
Well, it doesn't have to be college. Well, trade school. I mean, plumbers, we look at college educated folks, and a lot of them never make more money than a plumber, an electrician. Who's the most respected people out there? Obviously teachers, they have to have a college education to some extent, but it's police, it's fire, it's military members. The most respected people in our communities didn't have to get a 4-year degree, not to start with.
Yeah. And can we talk about school resource officers? Cause you just mentioned police.
I do want to talk about that. Cause here in the city of Spokane, we defunded our resource officers a long time ago, and our local school board just passed basically a school ordinance. It's not going to allow Border Patrol agents to come into the classroom. Now, we have local Border Patrol officers. We're not too far away from the Canadian border. And one of the things that we have in law enforcement here is also law enforcement that works with Border Patrol as a secondary mission. So we're going to ban all these law enforcement officers from our public schools. And of course, these children have parents that are law enforcement officers that while they're on duty, they might have to run their lunch to school there. They might have to run a book or might have to pick them up for a doctor's appointment. So what are we going to do to keep our kids safe in school with some of these radical school boards like we have in the city of Spokane?
What an absolute positive tragedy. Obviously they don't understand, because I know myself and other officers and even administration would become a bullet sponge to protect our children. We would stand between the wolf that comes growling at the door and the children that we are hired to protect. And then I can tell you story after story after story. There was a young man that I, as a school resource officer, had to arrest for a felony. He had threatened the teacher, and he went away to juvenile prison for 14 months. He came back, sought out his school resource officer, and said, "Deputy Clippert, I've learned my lesson. I want to change my life, and I want to join the military. Will you help me?" And I said, "Absolutely." I met him every day before school. We ran, push-ups, sit-ups. I said, "You need a pair of running shoes. I can't afford them." "Well, come over to my house, pull some weeds, and I'll buy you some shoes." He did, I did, and we worked together every day, and off he went to the military. Well, one day I come to school, and there she is, a Secret Service officer. "And Deputy Clippert, I presume?" "Yes, ma'am. Could I talk to you about this young man?" "Sure." She asked me a bunch of questions, and she goes, "Would you like to know why I asked you all these questions about this young man?" And I said, "No, I figure I probably know." "Really? You don't want me to tell you?" And I said, "Okay, go ahead." So she told me, she said, "He did so good in basic training and AIT that he qualified for special forces training. He did so good in special forces training that now it looks like he's going to work for the president in the White House." This is the young man who his school resource officer had to arrest for a felony in school, and now he's going to work for the president in the White House. Is it amazing what our school resource officers can do for the children of our schools? They are missing out on an incredible opportunity. I can tell you story after story after story just like that.
Well, and my wife and I are sitting here because we went to different high schools here in Spokane, but I know who the police officer was that was an SPD officer, and he was very well respected in the Spokane community because all the students knew who he was growing up and going to the schools. And he was a leader to a lot of those students. Percy.
Yep.
Officer Percy.
Officer Percy.
And so we don't have that in our schools here. And to me, I don't want a heavy hand from Olympia. I think a lot of the problems in our state around our state is because we have a heavy hand from Olympia telling all the local entities what to do. But at the same time, if we're spending a record dollar amount on public schools, more than we've ever spent, I think it's more than obvious that with violence in the schools, with the, you know, the drug epidemic that we have, that we're facing, where the students younger and younger are now dying of you know, this fentanyl poisoning, as well as, you know, the entrance of these drug cartels and the proliferation, I would say, of gangs reaching out to teenagers, we need those resource officers. And I would think that that's something that our state legislature and OSPI would require school districts, because if children don't feel safe, that's another thing about education. It's same thing with relationships. If you don't feel safe, you can't learn.
Absolutely, positively correct. And there was some gang activity happening in the school that I work in, and the parents came to me and said, "Will you work with us to help bring this problem to an end?" And so, like I said, the city of Spokane is missing out on an incredible opportunity. There was a young man who had cerebral palsy, and he needed surgery, and his parents couldn't afford it. So the principal and I worked together to get him to a hospital in Spokane where he got that surgery to straighten his legs for free. And I lead assemblies at our school all the time, and that his mom at the end of that assembly came up and just threw her arms around me, and I could feel her tears falling down my neck. And she said, "Thank you, thank you, thank you for helping my son."
So as a resource officer and a teacher,
I am a certified teacher, and I've been offered teaching classrooms. I became a child supervisor and counselor at a ranch for troubled kids. And after I left that position, a law enforcement agency offered me a job for a fourth time, and I took it. And when they offered me the opportunity to become a school resource officer, I also took that opportunity.
So as a school resource officer, you've seen firsthand how schools do need that safety. You can't just pretend that there's not going to be any threats on the school. Of course, drugs, I think, is a big part of it, where there's parents that are on drugs, students, you know, all of those things. The parents need to know that their children are safe in school, but the parents also need to know that their children are being educated and not manipulated into things that are deeply ideological, like the stuff that could be going on in school-based health clinics. What are your thoughts about that? I mean, I know we got state-funded. As a legislator, you knew that we had a large amount of state funds going to lower-income families so that they could have access to medical care. Why do we need more than just a school nurse and having these school-based health clinics?
Well, I'll give another quick example. A young lady came to the office the other day in the school that I work at. And why in the office? Well, I forgot my inhaler and I don't have my asthma inhaler. So the PE teacher sent me to the office. So I worked with administration in the school to get her a second inhaler that remains at the school. So she'll never, ever have to miss a class again because she forgot her inhaler. So we can help children with real acute health problems. But Senate Bill 5599, which passed into law, was signed into law by the governor last year, says that if a child comes to school and says, I want an abortion or a sex change, that the state of Washington can actually steal that child from the parents, hide the child from the parents at a home that's set aside by the state of Washington, get them that sex change, get them that abortion without even talking to the parents, without even conversing with the parents, actually hiding the child from the parents. And that type of thing is absolutely, positively, totally and completely unacceptable.
Well, and there's other things too. I mean, obviously we've got, you know, those are the big things that parents are concerned with right now, because that's a recent thing in the legislature. And then of course you got the hormone blockers and all the things that, you know, that are experimental on children with this whole gender identity that's being pushed on them in the schools. Just like I think the legislature just passed a bill that children have to learn about queer history, and, you know, they're forcing this stuff in our schools. Obviously you're against that, but even the school-based health clinics where children are struggling in class, where, you know, the teacher and maybe someone in the school-based health clinic can say, oh, well, you must need a drug for your ADHD or something else, when the family practitioners don't get a way in and the family doesn't get a way in. It seems dangerous to me.
Absolutely, positively dangerous and unacceptable. Especially when you do not involve the parents in these decisions. The parents must be a part of their children's education and their children's health care. Absolutely, positively, absent abuse or neglect by the parent, they must be involved with their children's education and their children's health care and health decisions.
All right. Well, we've got just about a minute and a half left. I'd like to give you the microphone, or the cell phone, I guess. We're over the phone here. Let the voters know why they should be looking for Brad Klippert instead of I guess the people that are there now. We have opening here, right? Because is Reichdahl not running?
Well, I thought I heard that Chris Reichdahl was going to run again. He and I sat across the floor from each other on the State House of Representatives. We sat on the Education Committee together, so I know Chris very, very well. I thought I heard that he was running again, but I could be wrong.
Oh, okay.
So to your audience, I would simply say this. Ladies and gentlemen, we can do this. We can return Washington State education to an education of excellence, an education of merit, and an education of hard work and rigor. We got to return to making the primary part of going to school academics. And we talked about reading, writing, arithmetic, science, astrology, engineering, math, civics, and also history. Parents need to be empowered to be the parents. We need to be transparent and open with our parents and the public. We need to make sure our staff and students are safe. And we need to not only speak to our children's minds, but speak to their hearts. Not one man can do this, but ladies and gentlemen, we can do this together. And that's what I want to do. I want to work with you to return our schools to institutions of educational academic excellence.
All right. Well, thank you again for your time, Brad. And by the way, I know that you've sat across the table from the current director of OSBI, and we know how he's going to run it, because the way he's been running it, I normally pronounce his name Reichdahl. I don't like the dictatorial measures from the state shutting down our schools the way he did. I think it was a travesty for our children the way that we're educating them or not educating them now, and we definitely need to change. So folks, look up Brad Klippert. That's Klippert for OSPI.com. It's Klippert for OSPI.com. All that being said, we'll be with you folks again tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Right Spokane Perspective. We are sponsored by Right Spokane Perspective LLC and made possible by advertisers you hear and contributions from listeners like you.